Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You've listened once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive, and we are going to be talking about how to establish our community with justice. We have several guests on. We expect others to be coming on. I want to welcome you to this edition of Religion Means Alive. Religion must be alive. It cannot just be in scripture. It cannot be just in rituals. It has to be in belief and action. Then God, highly glorified as he called in Quranic language, and actually in the Bible language, if you understand it, the Christian Bible in Arabic said Allah. Don't let people fool you that Allah is a name for another God. Allah is a name of God for billions of people, Christians and Muslims, who speak Arabic and non-Arabic speaking people. So what I prefer when I'm talking to the audience to talk, this is God. But I will say this to you, dear beloved people. Excuse me one moment. Someone is calling us. Can't even see you. Right on the air. People call right in the middle of the time on my private phone, so y'all excuse me. But let's get to, I'll get back to them. Let's get to our brother from Philadelphia who will, the brother's on with us from Philadelphia. He will introduce himself and share with us what he thinks of the need to establish justice in the community of Imam Waruddin Muhammad. Brother, state your name and...
Assalamu alaikum, it's Brother Wale.
Walaikum assalam, Brother Wale. You are definitely a friend, so we'd love to hear from you, a trusting friend. Is there another brother on with you?
Yes. They should be on pretty soon. But
okay, there's another brother. Fine. If you're on with us, press 1 on the phone. You're supposed to be a guest. This way I can recognize you, that you're here and that you're just not on the program just to be listening. Press 1 on your phone if you're the person that should be on the program. Right now, let us proceed, brother. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and how, in fact, you think the community could be made better with justice.
Yes, sir. My name is Wale. I'm from Philadelphia. And I think one thing that can contribute to the community is better leadership. If you have leadership that only considers themselves, they don't have no love for the community, and they just want to self-promote, there's a lot of wrong in that. And I think that firsthand.
Now, when you say self-report, self-promotion, what do you mean? I don't want you to name anybody. But I thought every one of the imams, maybe I'm just naive, I'm an old country boy from Lynchburg, I thought every imam or preacher or whatever, minister or whatever, I thought they all were about supporting the community. Am I wrong?
Yes, sir. No, I work up and close as so-called security for imam, and I won't name his name. And the things that were said while we were in the car together, and plus, his past year were totally different things. And I'm looking at him because he holds the title of imam to a higher level. I'm looking at this guy, I'm like, wow. I mean, how can you have no love for the community? And I told him, I said, that doesn't sound right, Brother Imam. He said, this is real life. So from there, I experienced personal stuff that I experienced with this imam, and he just wasn't right, and I knew it. What I ended up doing was I was with him for about 4 months, driving him every way he wanted, and I had to leave. Just left the community. I just left. Because it hurt me. It hurt me because I knew what he was saying up there on the rostrum wasn't what he would, what he believed in. Are you still there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here. Do you mean to tell me that these people call themselves imams, that carry the word of God, have two different conversations. In other words, in private, they are frank. In another conversation, there's somebody else.
Yes, sir.
You know, people say they speak frankly one time, and then the next time they tell you there's somebody, they earn it somewhere else. So there are two different people in these men that lead us in Salat who claim to be community trusted servants.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Have you ever seen examples of that? I don't want you to name anybody because I don't want nobody suing you for liability. We're talking about the state of the community, the state of the mind. So any resemblance of persons exhibiting this behavior is only coincidental. I want y'all to know I know a lot about the libel laws and defamation laws, but there is free speech. We don't want nobody tying anybody up in court. But anybody who disagrees with that can call in at 805-727-713. And the reason I won't make any opinions on anything, I may have to be served as a judicial officer. I'm prepared to do that, to objectively deal with facts. We're going to stay with just purpose. There's another brother on the line. Brother, will you introduce yourself and tell us why do you agree with the brother? And if you do agree with the brother, why? If you disagree with the brother, why not?
Assalamu alaikum. Brother Malik on the phone.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Brother Alfred, Imam Alfred, it's great to have this topic today, which I think is very, very worthwhile and very, very much needed in our community. And I can pretty much piggyback on what the brother was saying in terms of what's going on with some of the messages today, you know. And, you know, we're going to keep this pretty much, as you said, you know, not focus on any one particular organization or any names for reason of liability, you know. But you know, the thing is with our community, you know, we have to be sure that we have imams that have the best interests of the entire community, in mind, not someone that's just going to be there for a paycheck, you know. I won't talk about any, you know, I can remember when I was part of an organization, and the imam, you know, was paid, you know, it was paid like $14,000 a year. And basically, you know, he did 3 hours of work a week at $100 an hour. And what happens is, you know, a lot of times you have the imams, you know, they tend to get the believers in a gaze, and they get overwhelmed with the imam to the point where they lose focus of what the religion is all about. Historical, as well as they talk, the lessons from Wallace D. Muhammad. But it seems as though when he talks allegorical, you know, it mesmerizes the believers, and they just really kind of like just fall into the Jim Jones type of arena where they, you know, they follow him and they lose the teachings of Wallace D. Muhammad because he has them on a whole different path in terms of, like I said, the allegorical and not the teachings of Wallace D. Muhammad, you know. But the main thing is with our organization is, you know, it seems that we've come a long way, but we haven't grown. We haven't grown in a sense that we're still acting like we're old as Cain and Abel, and we haven't learned anything. We're still acting like crabs in a barrel. We're still fighting amongst each other. And nothing is happening with the community, and the imam is doesn't take leadership. And one of the problems is that if you have an imam that becomes part of the problem, that's when you really have a bad situation in the masjid, because what that means is that, you know, they're at the center of the storm. It's pretty hard to have a mediator, because they should be the person that mediates any differences within the community. But when they're at the center of the storm, they're at the split of an organization. That's when you have a problem.
Yes, sir.
I will say that, you know, there was an organization I was part of, the EMAM. The board had voted 7-3 to not approve his contract for another year. And one of the reasons being is that the organization could not afford to pay him $14,400 a year, as well as holding up to the contract. So the vote was 7-3, and it was 10 members on the board. So the other three voted not to voted for to renew the contract. Well, the EMAM's term was up, and he had sent a text saying that that he was going to, on a given day, he was going to, after Dumar, announce that he would be leaving at a certain day. Well, this EMAM happened to he called a meeting after Dumar, but it wasn't about him leaving. What it was about was it was a coup d'etat, meaning that he had gathered a group of the community, and the community brought discussed issues, and that day it was, and they turned an informal meeting into a formal meeting, and they took the board of directors pretty much off guard. In other words, it then became one of the board members that for the EMAM staying on another term, they made a recommendation to they all were in cahoots. But the recommendation was that the board should be dissolved because the board had overstayed its term in office. But, you know, that is something that, one, if you can see how it was contrived, in that that's a minor issue that easily could have been resolved by the board to hold an election. You don't dissolve a board, because to dissolve a board means that you dissolve the state of New Jersey's nonprofit status, corporation status, as well as you resolve the 501c3 status. So making that move there, then immediately even an interim board in place. Now, ironic enough, that day the EMAM was there, and it turned into a big zoo. Arguing, cussing, fights about to break out. EMAM also had been brought up, again, he had been brought up by the board on allegations of borrowing money from believers, borrowing money from the masjid that he still hasn't paid back, driving vehicles, borrowing believers' vehicles without a driver's license. You know, and all those type of things there, you know, weighed into whether or not we wanted to keep him. Now, again, this was 7-3. So getting back to what happened here, so they voted to the mob, they voted to dissolve the board. And in doing so, to dissolve the board, what actually happened was they then said, we're going to have an interim board. Now, the interim board was comprised of the same three board members that were for renewing the contract. Now, this EMAM is somebody that is very, very known to the community, which really is very shocking. But since then, the community is right now individuals that are trying to make it right and to get rid of those individuals. They have begun to assassinate their character and their legacy of what they have done with the masjid over for the last 2 years. They have filed complaints with the local police department against those individuals, stating that they have verbally said things to them and harassed them, and you know, are things that very, very trivial stuff that has no substance. Now, what bothers me most about that is that for us, you know, there is no organization.
Brother, I just want to make a statement to the audience.
There's no mediation.
Yes, brother, let me make a statement to the audience. Peace be on our noble and honorable listeners. These are allegations by the brothers and complaints and of things he has witnessed. Anyone who would like to counter what he said or to specify, if you want to specify a particular place, we want all parties available. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm a judge. I will try the case right here on the air. And you can join the conversation 805-727-7012. We're talking about hypothetical cases. And I could probably duplicate them 50 times, I've heard similar complaints. Now, let me just stipulate my background. At one time between 1978 until around 1979, May of that year, Imam Muhammad sent me around the country, and I served on the council, Imam. And one of my jobs was to investigate complaints and render decisions with the exception of two cities. He told me two cities were too special, they were too sensitive for me to deal with. But any other city, if I found judgments against, I just want you to know I'm a fair judge. So these are allegations against the imam. We're not, any of you all imams, followers of this particular, or any imam that may know this brother, understand that what I'm saying, these are not specific charges. These are general statements that can go into a court of arbitration. And I'm going to ask both brothers, do they propose that the community have its own court system? One of the things that the American legal system have said about us, when complaints come to them, is you don't have any rules and regulations. So therefore, anything could happen. But I want you to answer this. I just want to make that statement and tell anybody that you can call 805-727-7013. Press 1 and you will be recognized, guaranteed. I'm not going to shut down any discussions. I'm not intimidated by anybody. I'm not persuaded or conned by anybody. You can't con me. I grew up with a brother and three uncles of mine. They were con men, so I know every con in the book. I've grown up with some of the greatest preachers America's ever known, both Christian and Muslim. So I'm not going to be persuaded by beautiful speeches. I'm going to ask you for the facts. So let's continue on with the program, brother. And I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to make that statement so they can't say, they'll use me to crucify me too and say, yeah, Alfred got on the program. Your mom, Alfred got on the program. He was the tan, them brothers did. I didn't say anything. So just go back and play the tape, and you'll find I never said anything. These are hypothetical situations. But I have heard these more than one time. I've heard them hundreds of times. So I just want you to continue. I've seen boards dissolved. I've seen character assassination. I've seen people physically attack people for speaking by mind and spirit. Nobody's going to do that here. If they do it here, we're going to put all the pressure of society. I am prepared to come and picket your house or wherever you reside if you do that. So no urban terrorism, no community terrorism will be permitted from people to participate in discussing issues that this community faces. Thank you. Continue, brother.
Well, you know, I just wanted to add that, you know, we had asked for arbitration, but they turned us down for arbitration. Now, what is really shocking about the whole thing is this, is that we asked for arbitration, but the imam and the imam decides to take matters in his hands and take them outside of the community of Wallace D. Muhammad and to take it into the hands of the law, whereas we are not, as though we are unable as a community to resolve our differences. And that right there is really, you know, contradictory to the fact that here we are, we will be subject to facing a Christian or a Jew to make our of our faith to resolve the differences of our community. To me, it makes us a laughing stock of a religion. And I'm appalled that it's also, to me, it's a shame the community that we have to go outside of our organization or to gain some type of a decision made by someone else. And as an imam, I don't understand how you can make that decision to legally to go down and file charges on your congregation or members.
Let me ask you this. Do these people believe in the Quran, where the Quran says that you should govern your affairs by mutual consultation among you, ashura bainahum? So that means, I ain't going to use a lot of Arabic, but it means that you should bring your affairs among each other, and that shura body should be set up. So do these people believe in the Quran that they teach, or is I'm missing something? Or do they think that the government of the United States, the legal system of the United States, should govern their affairs? I don't know. Y'all tell me. I'm ignorant.
I think, this is Brother Wally, I think that the imam mesmerized a lot of people. He talks good, and I think they're doing the right thing. The communities think they're doing the right thing. But when you get a person in there that says Imam W.D. Muhammad this and Imam W.D. Muhammad that, and he speaks very, very good, then you get an audience of hypnotized people. So when you come in, you're a newcomer. You're a new imam. And there was a community before that, everybody saying, assalamu alaikum, brother. Assalamu alaikum, sister. Now you got division when a new person come in there and take charge, putting a burden on the community. It's not right.
You can join the conversation at 805-727-7013. Now, I want to ask both of you brothers, do you think there should be a judicial council established in this community? Am I wrong to think of that? Because I've heard, if I heard that complaint one time, just these facts you're stating, they are very eloquent in using the name of Imam Wahdi Muhammad. But I'm an old Nation of Islam follower of the lessons, and the lesson said they used the good name of our brother Jesus to shield that dirty religion, which is lying and stealing and how to cheat the original man, meaning the original nature, which is good, sincere, just, and fair. People use the name of Jesus to do that, but I know people use Imam Muhammad's name to do that. In fact, they won't come before us and say they're working on something other than Imam Muhammad. They'll come and say that's what Imam Muhammad told them to do. And unfortunately, most of us from the Hallelujah Choir days of Christianity and black pastors, and I must tell you, I ain't talking against the preachers because I started preaching about 60 years ago. I'm a little bit over 60 now. That should tell you that I've seen people mesmerized by preachers of all stripes, whether they got a pork chop in their mouth or a bean pie in their hand. So the mesmerization of our people is something that's easy. The sisters start crying and say, all that brother has done for us, all that brother is doing. And a couple of goons threaten people. It just seemed to be played over and over again. I know at least 10 occasions, and I'm being modest. I don't want to disillusion the community. But people have stolen our property, taken our properties, put it in our name. So I just want to wonder with both you brothers and anybody else in the audience wonder whether or not I'm on to something when I say we should have a judicial council. Tell me what you think. Just dial 805-727-7013. You will be on the air. Brothers, would you all continue?
Yeah, well Imam, you know, the thing is, there is a organization out here, but in terms of mediation, that will do mediation, but it's a catch 22. And the catch 22 is when we went the catch 22 is this, is that both sides must agree to come to a mediation. Now, you know, and the thing is, you know, I asked them, well, how many mediations have y'all done? They said none. It makes sense.
How are
we going to have mediation when one side saying no and the other side says yes? It really should be as though the judicial system is. You know, you get a subpoena, I file a complaint against you, just like right now. It's like I file a complaint, you're hit with a summons, you must come to court. There is no ands, ifs, and ways about it. You must come to court. And that's the way it should be with that particular organization, that you want to do mediation. Because technically, if I know I'm wrong, I'm not coming to mediation. Why should I come to mediation if I know I'm dead wrong? I'm not going to come to mediation. So they'll never have a case. They'll never have any group coming for mediation. So it's set up to fail from the get-up. It's set up to fail. And also, we need to have, you need to have imams that are not afraid to talk to other imams when they're dead wrong. Not, oh, yeah, well, I know they're wrong, but, I've heard, oh, no, we let each imam work out things with themselves. But not when you know that something is dead wrong. Because there's two sides. There's the right side and there's the wrong side. And sometimes it's just really, when you see it, it's obvious that it's wrong. That's the time for imams all over to step in. And in this situation here, you don't need to go out to the judicial system. You don't need to go out and have somebody, have the police involved. There's too many imams out there to come in and address that problem for you. If you don't feel as though you can't be objective because you're the imam, then there's plenty of imams out there that you can get to come in and have Imam Alfred, you could come in. Other imams can come in and address and set up and be, welcomed by the community. Community can select, okay, we're going to ask this imam, we're going to ask that imam, we're going to ask this imam. We want y'all to come down and to listen to our problem. And from there, we will yield to your decision. Because everybody, the selection is done. You could throw, as a matter of fact, you have 100 imams. You take a dart and you throw it at the board. Boom, 1, 2, 3. Those are the imams we call. Don't nobody know them. They're in the area. And we ask them to come in and listen to both sides. And when you're done, that decision that you make is the way that things will be. Because none of them are tied in. None of them, they're not known by anybody. Nobody's saying call this person, call that person. It's optional. Pin the tail on the donkey. Just take the pin. Go up there, a whole bunch of names. Wherever they go, boom. Call the names. If you got 100 names, okay, we're going to take the 10th, the 15th, and the 99th name. That's the names of grabbing. Can't get any more fair than that. But those are the ways that we can resolve issues in our
community. And I think also, this is learned opinion. This is not somebody who just have an opinion. You know what they say about opinions. Everybody has an opinion, just like everyone has certain other body functions, body parts.
Yes, sir.
But we definitely need to know that Imam Muhammad instructed us on this. He said that, and then these imams should know this, that there should be groups of brothers and sisters going from, and he said mostly brothers, going from Masada to Masada to make sure things are right. Another thing we need to understand, if I'm in Toronto, Canada, and you're in the Imam Muhammad Association, and brothers come from Bermuda and Atlanta, they are free to vote. As long as they're in good standing, you said brother's in good standing, he hasn't been put out for any reason, that brother is free to vote on that circumstance. Now, what I'm proposing here today, if you know of any of these parties that think they've been aggrieved, they're free to come and state that case. However, I would like to serve to a point, we got lawyers in the community, we got detectives in the community, we have security people in the community, we have people who are actually old investigators from the Nation of Islam. Judicial officers to try the case, have a jury. We know we're not going to be persuaded by emotion. Well, the brother's Arabic wasn't good. He didn't put the hums over. I've gone to trials like that, and I dismissed it. I knew that the person that they accused was guilty of sin, but the people couldn't prove the case. They told me the guy doesn't have, say he has a PhD, doesn't have a GED. That's irrelevant. I want to know whether did he steal money, did he misappropriate believers' properties, did he use people, did he borrow money from the people. Then I'm going to have the people to swear on the Quran three times. And the fourth time, they swear that Allah's curse be upon them. And then that's how we try a case. So if I found that, I've been to several places and found the guy was wrong, I said, you got to be removed right now. Because I made him agree. That's one time we hit this authority. But we're going to have people sign a contract. We shouldn't have leaders who come before us, and I don't mean to preach today, and say that they're leaders of our community unless they take a plan, that they're not under the direction of some outside forces. Because we have a lot of people in this community really have made bayah to other leaders from overseas and in these United States. Then we have other leaders who have allegiance to other, maybe even to the Nation of Islam, Minister Farmer. They need to swear on oath. And let me just take an oath right now so I tell you who I'm committed to. And I'm going to say it, I'm going to say it, and then we're going to get back to discussion. I am an unabashed, unapologetic, without hesitation, supporter of the ministry of Imam Debbie Dean Muhammad. My law has ceased to exist with any person, organizations, or firm other than him, and that organization is led by Imam Warfid Dean Muhammad II. I am a loyal, if I'm telling other than the truth, I'm witnessing. Allah, you witness. The people witness. And if I'm telling other than the truth, Allah curse me and strike me dead. That's how serious what we're doing is today. This is very serious. One security brother told me, the imam said, this is more serious than a mother with cancer. Huh? That's serious. Huh? Think about your mother with cancer. This is more serious than that. Because the mother's gone, but this community is our mother. So we can't have playing with us. So, but I think the consciousness is growing. It's just a matter of time before we're going to set up our own court system and we're going to judge people. We're going to have people taking our buildings, stealing our money, abusing believers. Leaders should not go and borrow money from believers that they sign a statement. But believers want to give money to the imam, then that's between them and him. But he shouldn't ask or solicit for his personal use. Any money that's in the masjid should be accounted for. There should be a board of trustees and respect. Now, I'm just giving you the rules. So that's it. All right. Anybody else want to call in 805-727-7013. 805-727-7013. And you will be given your opportunity. Brothers, introduce yourselves again. These are our lead discussions. And I also want to apologize to the community for not being able to be here yesterday, but I had some personal family problems that were beyond my control. You can join the conversation at 805-727-7013. 805-727-7013.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And this is Wally from Philly. And that happened, exactly what you just said as far as money go. A lot of the money I offered, what's a so-called, you know, when you give money to an imam or you offer money to an imam, he takes it every time. He says, okay, he says, I appreciate you, I'll get you back. Well, that getting you back never came. And it starts to add up. And a personal friend of mine needed his money, and he texted the imam, and he called the imam to no avail. And these people got money, they got jobs. They can't afford to just give away money like that. And I work hard. My personal experience, I gave so much money at one time, I missed getting my insulin for 3 days, and I told the imam that, and it seemed like he didn't care. So I knew that I had to take care of me and remove myself from the situation. That's just my story. I don't know I know if someone else is, and a couple people out, but I just want to tell my story. And it's just not right. When you call yourself Imam, that means something to the average community member. They look up to you. I looked up to him. I was like, you know, wow, I got all distorted and hypnotized. And here I am, you know, leery of leadership now. Who's who? So it's really not the money. If the imam would have just confronted the community and said, look, I borrowed this, I did that, I did this. Please, may Allah forgive me and may you forgive me. None of this would even be a question. But he's not that type of man. We need that type of, we need these type of men, you know. I know everybody goes through hard times, but when you put a burden on the community, especially if you ain't got no job, get a job. Stop borrowing from the community. I don't want to be, get tense and start getting mad.
Some of them think that is their job, to take advantage of the people. That's a sad thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, the more I talk about it, the more I find myself getting mad. So I better back
off. We don't want you to get mad. Get glad. Justice is on its way. We are thankful to Almighty God Allah that we even have a forum. Just remember, this is a test. A brother told me, and I don't want to go into dreams, but a brother just told me something a couple of days ago. He said he had a dream that he was in a stadium, and it was packed with people coming in. And they had sold out all the books, all the tapes, and all of the food. These are the days that are getting ready to come. Imam Muhammad said we're getting ready to approach the days of the multitudes. They're going to come in. So don't worry. None of that good work you did is going to go in vain, because the creator of the heavens and the earth, he witnessed it. And, brother, one thing I hear clearly from you is sincerity.
Oh, thank you.
You are sincere and you're pure, and you're doing things for the purpose of Allah, as they say. The Arabic priests would want me to say, "Fezzed be Allah." They can use all this Arabic to get the people drunk, but they don't have. Some of them don't have one. Most of them don't have 1 ounce of decency. They're not going to visit the sick. They're not going to take time with our young people. They're not going to visit our young people that may be wayward. They're not going to invite the people right around the masjid to come to the masjid and teach them. They don't have that kind of heart. But they have a heart for arrogance and manipulation for con. I ain't getting mad, I'm getting glad. Because Allah, I'm so glad that victory is on its way to us. We're going to be successful. I want to invite you all to the first Sunday in East Hazelcrest Mosque Cares. My address will be Black Lives Matter. I use Black Lives with a quotation mark because we know human lives matter. The Joseph story, and I'm going to be addressing just some of these issues. How this community, why, if we say lives, our human lives, Muslim lives matter, then we would be just to each other. We won't take advantage of each other. We would love each other. We would work with each other. We would be tolerant of each other. We damn sure wouldn't take advantage of each other. Brothers, if you overcome, just stand by. Let's hear from the other brother. And all any of the rest of you can just dial 805-727-7013, and you will be brought on the air on Religion Means Alive. Any other person would like to say anything, this program is wide open for you. We want you to be able to state your message. Dial 805-727-7013. Brother Wally and brother, the other brother.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, brother. Your brother Malik here. Yes, sir.
Your name again?
Malik.
Brother Wally. Yes, sir. I want you to speak about the need for this judicial council. I don't want you to get overcome by this particular circumstance. I want you to know that help is on its way. And this is coming to the attention of the people. I see the board is lit up. There's a lot of people listening. And you can join the conversation at 805-727-7013. This is the time to state your case before the people. Thank you.
Yes, if we had a judicial council, that will keep a lot of masters and a lot of the community, the boards, and the imam on their toes. But if you got those ones that have a scheme or a plan, it keeps them on their toes and keeps them right, and they might get found out. And it helps, it benefits the community. We need something like that. We need it.
Yes. How do you think we can go about forming such a committee? Anybody who has opinions on that, let us know. What is your opinion on how we can form that kind of council?
Well, we get the best of us. We get people from all backgrounds. Somebody who has good knowledge of Imam W.D. Muhammad's Tafsir, Quran, the Sunnah, and they go in with a clear conscience and a clear mind to the community, the different communities. And it'll be made up of people that can probably rotate. So it won't be put a burden on one person to hear the discrepancies sometimes that come out of the masjid. And how you do it, I don't know about volunteerism, because somebody might have a hidden agenda in that. But you just pick the best out of the community. That's the only way I can think. You pick the best of people, whether he be a janitor or a judge. You pick the best who have a good heart and sincerity about them, and they can be the best ones who can go around and do the right thing and listen to the people, listen to the community, listen to the imams. And maybe we can come up with a good ummah that these young people can look at and look at us and say, you know what, I want to be part of that, you know. So I guess you can just get different people.
Yes, and that should be male and female. That should be young and old. But we want judicial people, not people who are persuaded by emotions. And we know that some of us are emotional. We know that some people just are not geared for judicial. They can't even be fair with their own children. And that's just the way it is. Allah has made us. But we believe that people should, and we'll have it by majority. So maybe the emotional person will come in, and there will be reason. It should be a jury deliberation. It should be a vote. That should be a judicial officer, persons that have ability to preside over it. I want you all in the audience, a lot of you on the line now, so don't sit back. Don't wait until another show, then call in and talk about this. 805-727-7013. I'm one of the few imams in this country, I know this to be a fact, that will listen to your complaints, because I'm persuaded that you have to be governed by mutual consultation. I'm also persuaded by what Allah told the prophet with the blind man. He said, turn not the petitioner unheard. So people got petitions. When I heard about their concerns, they become my concern, because I know the pain that this community is going, and I know that this is the best community on the face of the planet Earth, barring none.
That's right.
Community on Earth better than us. These are the most dedicated people. I want y'all to also know, money is not our problem. Once we build trust, we're going to have everything. We got a brother right with us now, and he's going to give us some comments. Brother, tell us where you're from. You're on the air with Religion Means Alive. Seven 732, please proceed.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Khalid bin Walid. I just wanted to make a comment and a statement that Imam W.D. Muhammad said. He did a talk in Newark. Well, quite a few times, but this time he was saying this is not yours. This is Allah's and the people's. He said the only thing is mine is my attitude towards it. So that's all they have is their attitude towards it, but they think it's theirs. This is mine. This is my territory. You know, this is my city, and we ain't built nothing. We ain't got names on the streets, just beginning to get some of the good names on different streets. But it's not yours. It's Allah's and the people's. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, sir. So you're saying, Brother Ali, this does not, Khalid bin Walid, this does not belong to us. So if it doesn't belong to us, then we should treat it as a trust, as a loan, right?
Exactly.
And should we pray that we know a big brother, very powerful brother, big name, is going to be put in the ground tomorrow. So all he leaves is his deeds. Isn't that correct?
That's right.
So if I overlook the petitioner and just allow people, and I'm stealing from believers, what kind of deeds you think I'm going to the grave with?
Mm-hmm.
You're a learned man. Give me my opinion. I won't know. Maybe I should do some wrong so I can. Maybe that'll help me. That's what some of them think. But I know the answer. I know Khalid bin Walid would be ready to cut my head off if he saw me doing something wrong. Khalid, we want you to keep the sword hidden at this point, and we're going to ask Allah for mercy and see how much good we can do. So join the conversation, folks. It's getting hot up in here. 805-727-7013. We're not going to do you like some people do on these programs. They get you on the program, and they cut you off when you're saying something they don't like. We see a lot of you on, so if you got any opinions, please just press 1 on your phone, and you will be listened to.
Yeah, well, Imam, you know, the thing is that, you know, we still, like as I said, you know what I mean, we have not progressed even as black people the way that we should. You know, when you look at our community, we look at we're so busy fighting internally that we can't even help the people outside of the masjid because we're so busy fighting like you know, acting like crabs in a barrel, you know. And then you have some people that are very, very progressive and very innovative and very creative, and then you have the old regime that is so rigid, and they don't let the flower bloom, where they're the fertilizer, and they have created, when they create the creativity, the person that will change things for them and for the community, they kill it. They kill the spirit. They kill the dream. And to this extent, when you look at our store, still, any downtown that we go into, I know in my area, there ain't no black-owned stores. The chicken stores that we love chicken. Do we own the chicken stores? No. We got the Chinese stores. We got the Jap. We got the Koreans. We like hair. We like the extensions. Koreans got that. We like our nails done. The Koreans got that. We want our toenails done. The Koreans got that. We want sneakers. The Koreans got that. And now, the Hispanics and the Dominicans, they got all the poppy stores. Every store you go into, I was trying to find a certain type of cake yesterday when I was going up, I was on the road. I went into, every store I went into was a poppy store. And they in the middle of our community. I'm like, wow, we just ain't got it together. And I don't know if we'll ever get it together because we can't even feed ourselves. We can't even produce our own enterprises, you know, and that just says something about, I don't care whatever any community you go into, every community that we have, we don't own nothing. Why don't we own anything?
And let me ask you this, but do you think that has to do with bad religious leadership?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And
that's
so why you say that.
And that's the leadership. But like I said, but what happens is, you know, the community, I've seen it. Believe me, I've seen it. I've been part of it. I've been part of.
You know what I want your brothers to do? I don't know how much you want to talk about it. If you tell us what work you do and how long you have been in the community of Imam Deputy Muhammad, because you sound very strong. I mean, you don't sound like you just came out of a hole in this church somewhere. You sound very rational.
You know what?
Sound seriously. Introduce yourself, because you're the kind of people this community needs to know.
Well, let me share. Okay, here's where I am. I was with the Nation of Islam, and I made the transition, you know, to Wahdati Muhammad, you know, when I learned the difference, and I learned that was the right way to go. So I've only been with this masjid for about like 7 years, but with coming into the masjid, you know, with my background and my administrative skills, I realized that something was missing, and one good thing was missing was that there was no community involvement. You had an imam there that I saw that was there for 35 years, and there was no accountability to this man, and there was no board of directors, there was no community meetings, there was no revealing of the monthly, you know, the monetary money that was coming in. And I saw that he started to use the masjid for his benefit of doing shows. And the shows, supposedly the shows were supposed to be, the money was used to help the masjid, but the masjid was not involved in the process. When he gave the shows, nobody was, as when the masjid sat at the table, but his wife and the partner, his partner, sat at the table. No involvement at all. So that kind of like bothered me. So my whole thing was, I said, no, okay. And they didn't have a board of directors. So my whole thing was, okay, I'm going to work on bringing a board of directors to this organization. So I went to the imam and to try to get him to bring a board of directors. And his whole thing was, you know, you get a board of directors, ain't nobody going to participate. That's why we haven't had any for years. But I know that you're making all the decisions, the money that comes in, you know, we don't know where the money's going. I can see that. So in the meantime, he started up a little group that he started up called, I don't know what it was called, but it was an offset of a board of directors. But it was basically controlled by him. So at that meeting, I stressed, we need to start a board of directors. I'll tell you. I caught so much heck and so much, you know, cussing and fussing. And every time I discussed it, it was like, you know, we're moving on to something else. Then it got to the point where I started to bring it up. They would move it to, like, the last 5 minutes. And it's like, you only have 5 minutes, brother, to discuss that. But Allah blessed me with people from that table, felt where I was coming from. And later, we started to meet to actually move to developing that board. And later we found out that the corporation had been suspended because failure to file the paperwork for the 503 and the state documents. The organization then began to move in a direction to fulfill those obligations with paying the monies that had to be paid out to get the 501c3 reinstated and to get the board reinstated. Or the state papers reinstated. So we had the board developed, and since then, you know, within that year, within the 2 years that we had, we've done some very innovative things. You know, I mean, we've looked at the financial documents, you know, and things such as there was a copy machine that they had been paying on $97 a month for almost 10 years, you know, we called the company up and we told them what we were, nonprofit. We bought the machine for $50, water cooler to pay in that for $14 or something instead of a month. We turned that around, get rid of that with the guys, and we brought our own water cooler. We did something that was very, very innovative. We had Ramadan in the park. Ramadan in the park every Friday. We had every Friday for the month of Ramadan, we did it in the park. Being that we brought everybody worked like a machine to set that up within about 45 minutes every Friday. Tarps out on the lawn. We had speakers out there renting a generator. It was just beautiful. We were on the news, the Channel 6 news, You know, we were in the newspaper, you know, and you know, and we had much more participation with the board, bringing the we would take the masjid outside of the masjid because that's where the work was. Doing things like having a Thanksgiving food drive, which they hadn't done that since I've been there. We coordinated with a partner. We partnered with the school across right across the street. We have a school. Never partnered with the school. Never did anything with the kids, but we partnered with them. In fact, we through the board we adopted the school through the Board of Education, and we did a Thanksgiving basket drive. And we followed up with them actually participating with bagging the stuff up in the school and actually participated with giving the food out at that on a certain day to the selected families. And this is what I'm saying in terms of how if you see the movement of the board and the things that it was, those are some of the things that we were doing. Not to mention the events, the Ramadan dinner and so forth that we had, and you know, but on that drive, now this is where you have in the community where you have personalities of like, as I said, this is where the dissatisfaction came in between the communities and the imam. Because with that drive that you have that board, dissolve that board because they voted against the imam contract being reinstated. And so what they did was they killed all that energy and all that progress based on likes and dislikes. And that's why I'm saying that, you know, and I explained to her, I said, you know what, I hate to say it, but this masjid, I'm sorry, will never go anywhere as long as they continue to think like that.
Yeah, we don't want to get too specific about the masjid, but we're talking in general about particular masjids, and general masjids governed, because I don't want to. Until any
right.
other party,
right.
now, you listen, I'm sure the rumor mill is grinding like a ferris wheel.
But they're
going to bring these. But let me just share this with you all. If anybody from any specific masjid, pro income, want to come and state that case, you will be heard. But if you bring it before me, I'm going to try the case right on the air. Just telling you that. Just warning you, don't step up here and think you're going to slick-talk me and fast-talk me. I'm a seasoned leader, and I ain't scared. I'm not easily intimidated. I've worked in correctional facilities, never been to prison, thank God, and never been arrested. And I've worked in corrections. I work in mental hospitals. I've had a lot of lipping lines of work, so I know all kinds, all types, all flags, all bags, and I know every foul and unclean bird. So don't try to light here if you got game. Now, if you're for real and you're truthful, tell all the for real people to come, and even the liars, let them come too. They will be proven liars if they come here to try to accuse good believers. And I read between the lines very, very well. Let's have a closing statement from you all. And I'm wondering would you all come back again on the program and talk. I'm sorry, again, I apologize for yesterday. We're going to post this on Facebook so they can listen to it. Comments can be made. It's a funny thing, people start running when Imam Alfred Muhammad, they've called me everything but a child of Adam. So they got a whole lot. My name comes up, and people say he's bad news. I wonder why I'm such bad news. It's bad news because I would not stand with crooked Christian preachers. I would not stand with crooked, deceptive imams. I'm not fooled by those who know Arabic, that speak well, who can act, who can dramatize things, that know Arabic language. If you ain't committed to Quran and Sunnah, I ain't with you. Now, what I said when I said that, only way I know anything about the Quran and Sunnah was Imam W.D. Muhammad taught me. And what I've seen from overseas with Osama bin Laden, who speaks fluent Arab. Oh, I forgot he's not around. Saddam Hussein, who spoke fluent Arab. Oh, oops, he's not here to give a report. So I know a lot of others who are hiding in caves that speak fluent Arabic, no Quran, and they can't make any sense. The West is raining fire to heaven on them. So that tells me that nothing in the Muslim world gives me any assurance that they have anything. I think the best is in the West. So I'm going to ask you, brothers, to give a closing statement. And anybody who wants to make a closing question before you, you got about 5 minutes to do it. 805-727-7013. Press 1 and you will be recognized. Otherwise, we're going to have closing statement with these great brothers. Brothers, understand you're a great man to stand up under that kind of pressure and still be standing. Allah is with you and the community of believers is with you.
First of all, I'd like to thank you, Brother Imam Alfred, and for this forum, because I think it did more for me just getting it out every time I tell that story. And I want to thank you again. I thank the listening audience, and I thank Allah for, like you said, for the blessings that we're still here. And hopefully we can just hope for good instead of bad. And I know Shaitan whispers, but we'll always, in truthfulness, will always prevail over falsehood. And that's what I have to say. And I have to thank you again. Assalamu alaikum.
Let my son. Dear brother, continue.
Well, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, I remember when the Honorable Wallace Muhammad came to the podium one day in overalls, because he wanted to demonstrate how we were getting a little too fancy, getting a little too away from the grassroots, and losing focus. We have a lot of catching up to do. It shows in our community. As I said, it shows in our economic development. We need an economic development plan. We need to have focus on our community. And until we can really stop all the internal fighting, you know, because there was a time when, you know, we had it all. We had planes. We had food. We had food distributors. We had fish. You know, there was a time when bean pies was making, you knew you get the bean pies, you knew you could make a dollar. All that's gone. We've lost that. We've lost that whole vision of doing for self. We don't do for self anymore. Self now is the Koreans, the Dominicans, the Asians. Until we start to put a program together, and as I said, until the older people, you know what the thing is, I'm not a young man, but I think I have, but I'd like to think of myself as long as I'm here on earth. You know what I mean? That I can make a difference. And that means that, you know, we got to look at some of the pioneers. Look at it in terms of, I can't describe it better, but the pioneers are the fertilizer. And eventually, with the right fertilization, you're going to have that flower to rise and to lead. They may not have been there very long. They may not have been very long, so don't get mad because they haven't been there long and they're accomplishing so much. Understand that this is what you have blossomed. This is what you have blossomed. So when they're there and they're ready to lead, don't get mad at them. Let them lead and join in, because I've seen how that has happened. Someone comes in and they try to make change, and the old regime is like, how can this person do this? He's only been here for so long, and they don't help. But with Allah's help, they don't understand how come they still forged ahead and they still accomplished all the things that they've accomplished that they haven't been able to accomplish for so many years. So on that note, I really appreciate, you know, you having this forum.
you know, because a lot of forums.
And by the way, just want to make two announcements before you go. I want to ask the audience, those who are in the Chicago Midwest area, to come to the first Sunday in Chicago where I will be speaking. First Sunday with Mosque Cares, and also prepare for the Ramadan session. You've done Ramadan, the last 3 days of Ramadan. We're going to be one of the presenters at the Mosque Cares Ramadan session. And I'm asking everybody in all the cities to come to the convention. And I'm going to propose that you brothers send out to us a workshop proposal for the formation of a judicial committee, the Fairness Committee, which Imam Muhammad established. I'm proposing, I brought it up before first Sunday, and December I'm going to bring it up again, the first Sunday in May, that we should have a Fairness Committee. And that's where people can lodge their complaints against people. If maybe somebody getting a divorce. Maybe somebody's going through a dispute with their business partner. Why should we go to the white man, quote, end quote, when we have our own? Now, also, I'm asking each and every one of you to help us. This broadcast, people lying to this broadcast is free. We support it out of our own pocket. If you got it, fine. If you ain't got it, fine. We need donations. We have to pay these bills to stay on air. Send your donations to Religion Means Alive via PayPal at gmail.com. Religion Means Alive at paypal.com. Or you can send it to Imam Alfred Imam Alfred at gmail.com via PayPal. We need donations to keep this program going. Every month or so, it looks like we are going right to the edge, and Allah bless us. But we're supporting this ministry out of our own pocket. I don't have a rich congregation. I hate to make these appeals. I'm a very poor businessman, I admit it. I hate the administrative side of it, and I admit it. I'm not good at it, so I don't claim to be good at everything. See, these leaders that run around and tell you they're good at everything is a lie. Well, I don't know. Maybe they're saints. I don't know. I can't speak for them. I know I'm not. I have a lot of faults. And I'm reminded of him constantly as a dad, as a husband, as a brother, as a family member, as an uncle, that I got a lot of work. And as our Christian people used to sing, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. So y'all, if you can donate to me to this fine, if you can't donate, please say a prayer, do our and ask Allah to help us, guide us and strengthen us and increase us in faith and make us a good follower of his prophet and we can be a better person to serve you more. I don't see anybody else on the line who will have any questions. With those words, we are going to go off the air and tell you that peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You have listened once again to another edition of Religion Means a Lot. We will be on air on Wednesday, Thursday. I don't know what the topic Wednesday. Would you brothers like to come back again?
Yes, sir.
Y'all can come back tomorrow. Fill us in tomorrow. There's a lot of people expecting. We'll continue the same discussion. We're going to talk about how should a masjid be governed. That's what we're going to talk about. And anybody
okay.
who's opposed to you all, tell them to just call in. Just call in tomorrow. And we would love to have them on. They can be opposition. We don't mind opposition, but just come in. Present your case, and you will be heard. Peace be on our noble and honorable listeners. You have listened once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. Thank you, and good night.
Yes, sir.